day together. Johnston Chapel has a rich history dating all the way back to the 1930s.
When some residents of Halls Ridge Road wanted to start a Sunday school for the community. And that Sunday school was started across the road in a little schoolhouse called Johnston School. That little Sunday school developed to include preaching services, including one very, very special preaching service on Mother's Day in 1953. It was on that day that Jimmy Jones preached his first sermon at what would become Johnston Chapel. He began holding services every other weekend here, and eventually the church was organized on December 8, 1953. Preacher Jimmy, as he became affectionately known, continued to preach over time and was called as the lead pastor here at Johnston Chapel in September of 1954. And the Lord richly blessed the church through Preacher Jimmy's strong evangelistic ministry. Preacher Jimmy and Audrey Jones would faithfully serve at Johnston Chapel for 37 years. What a wonderful legacy they left here. In 1990, Johnston Chapel called John King to be senior pastor. And Pastor John grew up in the church here. He pastored for 17 years in North Carolina, Florida, and Indiana. And since that time, God has poured out His blessings on this church as we've continued to grow spiritually. We've grown in number, grown in staff and in ministries, and the Lord has truly blessed. Pastor John and Jeannie King have faithfully served at Johnston Chapel for more than 26 years and have also left a wonderful legacy here. So it's amazing, from our organization all the way back to the 1950s to June of this year, when Pastor John retired, we've really enjoyed the faithful ministry of just two lead pastors at Johnston Chapel. And that is... that's a wonderful testimony to the grace of God and His blessing in this place. And we've maintained a steadfast commitment at Johnston Chapel to preach the gospel, that sinners are saved by grace through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. On his final Sunday at Johnston Chapel, Pastor John gave me a powerful charge for the days ahead. And he shared that charge using three different passages of Scripture. And I'd like to share those with you this morning. From Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood." Then also in 1 Peter chapter 5, "To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." And then the final charge he gave me was Paul's charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a multitude of teachers, to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. What a great charge. Let me say this. Pastor John King has faithfully lived out that exact charge in the presence of each and every one of us gathered here this morning. If I were given just two words to best describe Pastor John, I would wholeheartedly declare from my heart that he is a humble shepherd. He has been a humble shepherd. I want to thank him personally for being that for me, for modeling for me what it means to be a humble shepherd. Thank you. Pastor John will always be my pastor. He'll always be my call, my example, and a dear friend. It would be impossible for Pastor John to leave such a wonderful legacy without a partner, someone to walk with him through the joys and the trials of ministry. And if I had two words to best describe Jeannie King, I would genuinely say that she is a humble servant. A humble servant of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Jeannie, for modeling for all of us what it means to be a humble servant. And we all love you. I'm speaking for everyone here. We love you too so very, very much. We're honored to have Pastor John and Jeannie's family here too, including their daughters, Amy, Ruth, and Missy, and then a lot of extended family as well. So if you're related to Pastor John and Jeannie in any way, would you please stand so we can recognize you this morning? Thank you so much for your presence here today. Ultimately, though, our desire in this service is that it will be a testimony to the grace, the love, and the power of our great God. To Him be the glory for everything that's been accomplished in this place throughout the years. To God be the glory, great things He has done. So in a moment, we're going to take up an offering after I pray. And I just want to give a quick reminder, if you'd like to give toward the love offering that's been taken up the last few weeks for Pastor John and Jeannie, if you would use a special offering envelope and mark King on it, that would be wonderful. Obviously, we also have been sharing with you an opportunity to give down at the pavilion. We'll have a basket there for cards and gifts as well. So let's ask for the Lord's blessing on this service this morning. Father, You alone are worthy. You're worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Father, we know that every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes from You. We thank You for that. We thank You for pouring out Your rich blessings on this church for so many years. And we know that everything of eternal value that's been accomplished here, it's all because of Your grace and Your goodness and Your work here. Father, we thank You for Your providence, for how You worked through the years to bring Preacher Jimmy and Audrey here. Thank You for them. Thank You for their faithful ministry. Thank You for how You worked in the lives of Pastor John and Jeannie to bring them to us as special gifts. Thank You. You're an amazing God in how You work. And Father, we pray that this service would be a special encouragement to Pastor John and Jeannie as we celebrate Your faithfulness here. And we love You. We want You to get all the glory, honor, and praise for everything that's accomplished this morning, for everything that's said and done. In the precious and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Our opening worship song this morning is called Because We Believe. When I think of Johnson Chapel and its rich heritage of preaching God's Word and standing on the truth, thought this would be an appropriate worship song for us to affirm as a church once again that which we believe and we hold to and also as an opportunity and time to worship our great God. Let's sing together, Because We Believe.
Believe in the Holy Spirit. just say we are very, very happy to be here today. Of course, anytime there's a celebration to get rid of John, we're going to be there. Yeah. My last chance publicly to keep him straight. We love you, John and Jeannie, so much, and we're proud and thankful to be here today and honor you. And so glad to be here and see so many old friends and people we've known for years, grew up here at the chapel, and lots of wonderful memories. We miss Catherine, our sister, today, not here because of health issues, but we are going to try to make it through this song without crying or messing up too much. We haven't sung together in years, the King Sisters, or the Rusty King Sisters now, but just bear with us. We're going to sing a song that was our dad's favorite, very favorite, and we sang it most every time we got together as a family. And so we want to sing this in honor of the Lord, honor of our parents, and to honor our brother, honor John.
How deep, how passionate is our commitment to our faithful God?
Melvin King was born July the 11th, 1952, to Jack and Beth King. At the age of approximately four, John was already practicing to perform a baptism. although you can tell he was not yet a Baptist. In 1960, their family started attending Johnston Chapel after John's mom had heard preacher Jimmy Jones at a revival. Not long after, John went forward and accepted Christ as his Savior at 8 years old. At Springs of Life Camp in Patrick Springs, God confirmed with John the call to preach. John was very involved in the youth group at Johnston Chapel and graduated Princeton High School in 1970. From 1970 to 75, John attended Piedmont Bible College. God was preparing John for leadership through his education, but also by allowing him to lead as student body president and youth pastor at Daniel's Missionary Baptist Church. He was given the honor of preaching in chapel at Piedmont. The greatest blessing he received at Piedmont was meeting Jeannie Kelly. He would later marry Jeannie and eventually have three dearly loved daughters, Amy, Ruth, and Melissa. Later, John was called to Needham's Grove Church in Seagrove, North Carolina, as a youth pastor, and 9 months later became the pastor. At age 21, and still a student at Piedmont, he was immersed in ministry. The Kings left Needham's Grove 7 years later to go to Faith Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. After only 1 year there, God moved John and the family to South Whitley, Indiana. John attended Grace Theological Seminary and pastored First Baptist Church. John traveled to Israel and was given the honor of preaching to his peers and professors on the Mount of Beatitudes. After graduation from Grace, John stayed at First Baptist for a total of 9 years. John then received the call to be senior pastor of his home church, Johnston Chapel, and follow the pastor whom he respected most, his pastor, Jimmy Jones, in June of 1990. John served with excellency in all the duties of a senior pastor and was well known as a gifted preacher and teacher. In the summer of 2003, we all rejoiced in Dr. King's completion of his doctorate from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. In June of 2008, John resigned his position of senior pastor as God led him to accept the position of dean of the graduate program at Appalachian Bible College in Bradley, West Virginia. As a testament to how beloved Pastor John was, the church extended the call for him to be the senior pastor again in January of 2010, after he had expressed the desire to return home to shepherd the flock he so loved. John's desire for the flock was to learn to love, grow, and serve. During his tenure at Johnston Chapel, there have been many major initiatives completed. We doubled the size of the pavilion and new playground, added expanded parking, new projection and lighting for the auditorium, constructed a new $1 million education wing in 1996, constructed a new garage, youth, and children's room in 2008, completed a $1.5 million project to remodel our nurseries, lobby, and office wing in 2012. John is credited with helping move the church forward in too many ways to list them all, but some of the highlights include church mission trips to serve on the field, mission conferences, mission Sundays, and the Go Fund. Focus on strategic planning and new church staffing model. Movement of the church to the NIV translation of the Bible. In 2002, a second service with a contemporary style was introduced. Focus on the community outreach with target ministries, including men's breakfast, grief share, divorce care, MOS, Celebrate Recovery, the Philippian Ministry, and 3D archery, and the development of Chapel 101, 201, and 301 discipleship classes, and the introduction of small groups. John performed all of his duties with such a spirit of humility and gentleness. Of utmost importance to John was the preaching and teaching of the Word of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening, as well as in the Chapel Lay Institute.
Be the glory, great things he has done. That would be my response after watching that video and reflecting on all that has taken place here at the chapel, and especially under Pastor John's ministry. John, thank you for pouring your life into the flock. Thank you. I've been blessed to serve as associate pastor under the ministry of all three of our pastors. With Preacher Jimmy, Pastor John, and now Pastor Dan. Curious this morning, how many of you became a part of Johnson Chapel under Preacher Jimmy's ministry? Would you stand under Preacher Jimmy's ministry? All right. Thank you. You seated? How many of you became acquainted, involved, and began your walk with Johnson Chapel under Pastor John? Would you stand? Amen. Thank you. God's done a great and mighty work here at the chapel in hearts and lives. This Heritage Sunday is a day to think back and reflect on all that God has done at the chapel through the years. And I'm going to be a little nostalgic, and I'm going to show you a photo of a special day at Johnson Chapel that was taken in June 10th, 2000. It was at the wedding of my daughter, Amy. And if you'll notice, of course, here's Amy. Here's Jenny and Lori. Let me get my family in first. Here's Preacher Jimmy. Here's Pastor John. And here's Pastor Dan. Little did we know, 18 years ago, God was already doing a work in intersecting lives as a part of our church life and family. And as God has blessed the ministry of Preacher Jimmy, Pastor John, I think he has great and mightier things for us, because we've always moved forward of impacting the community with the gospel of Christ, training and equipping people to serve him and to take it to the ends of the earth. May we always be faithful and true to do that. Pastor John, you've not only been a humble servant of God, a man of faith, godliness, and integrity, you were very much a faithful shepherd. you took that charge and responsibility very carefully. We can all agree that one of the hallmarks of Pastor John's ministry was the pulpit ministry of preaching and teaching the Word of God. We've all been blessed by it and challenged by it, and as our shepherd, that was your most important responsibility, to tend, feed, care, protect the flock, equip us for life and ministry. But as pastor, I've been blessed to witness and watch Pastor John's personal love and care for the flock. Now, for those of you that may not know, Pastor John is a bit OCD. He can be a little compulsive with his list, his daily schedule, and routines. That's just a few areas. And for example, and I can think of several examples, but every Sunday morning, Pastor John would arrive early. He would open and prepare the building. When I would arrive, he would be in his office. I know he was praying and studying and preparing for the service at 7:45 on the clock, I believe it was. That door would open. He would come out. And if we didn't talk a moment, he was on his way to the 8 o'clock Bible fellowships, and he wanted to check with those leadership if there was anything that they needed and how he might help them. Clockwork. I knew exactly what he was going to do. And if I wasn't in the office, he would be coming out down the hallway. This is just one illustration of his list, his routines, his schedule that he affirmed to his family. He's laughing. I can tell that they wholeheartedly agree. But as focused and disciplined as John was about his daily life and schedule, he would drop things in a moment for a staff member or a church member that had a need. Those things come when you're not expecting it. If it was a knock at the door, he'd come on in. If there was a phone call that came, and there would be times where all of a sudden John would disappear. He was out of his office. I'd see him in the parking lot. He's in his car. And I would check with the ladies. I said, what's going on? Well, this has happened. John's got a call. And he was gone. His schedule, time, routines became secondary to the needs of the flock. On behalf of the associate pastors, I think there were 9 of us that served with you, John. Mike McGraw, Chuck Vickers, Kevin Chivers, Judd Dixon, Gene Simmons, James Walsh, Jason Bowden, Dan Thing, our new lead pastor. Thank you for being an example of what it means to be a faithful man of God and a godly pastor. You were truly a shepherd that gave himself for the flock. You not only taught us how to be a pastor, but you lived it out in your daily life. To God be the glory and great things he has done.
Ohio. Can you say that? It means good morning in Japanese, but don't say West Virginia. Well, I am Joe Mita, made in Japan. I am your missionary to Japan since 1984. And this morning, my testimony is very personal. I'd like to share from the Bible. It says, and if you have a Bible, you can open it. The book of Hebrews 11:8. This is a tremendous verse. Book of Hebrews. I'm not going to preach for 1 hour, okay? Book of Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham went out, not knowing and whither he went. Dearest Pastor King and Sister Jenny, my family is so grateful to your friendship with our family. When I think about you, you remind me Abraham, the man of God, daily walk by faith. From the first time we met you to this day, you have set such a godly example for us. When we walked the darkest valley, God sent you and Jenny to Japan by His providence. And you comforted us and you gave us a very godly counsel. When we walked the darkest valley second time in the States, you helped us, wept with us, and you prayed with us. When you visited Japan second time, you have shared your whole pastoral experiences and your personal life so honestly. As you know, he mentioned that his schedule, the moment he get up and the night he laid out to our Bible school students. And so we were so blessed and encouraged by his testimonies. You know the real joy of serving God and serving people. At the same time, you know the real pain of men as a husband, as a father, and as a pastor. Jesus Christ is the perfect example because he knows everything about us. He knows all of our pain, and he went through the deepest pain in order to save us from the hell. You have been loving us, you have been praying for us, and you have been supporting our mission work in Japan with the very faithful members of the Johnson Chapel. Pastor and Mrs. King, our family love and appreciate you so very much from the bottom of our hearts. We hope and pray God will continue to use you, to bless you, so that you will touch many lives. God bless you. Thank you.
The day when my faith And I got to follow that. Woo! It is well with my soul after that. How about you? Amen. Pastor John and Jeannie, I love you. I can't put into words what you mean to me. How much I've grown in the Lord through the CLI classes down in the fellowship hall. How many of you went to those classes? Wasn't that amazing, the teaching of John, how he could bring the gospel out so simply? May my heart grow. God bless you and I love you. You people give me the honor of serving on the deacon board 3 times under Pastor John. And you didn't have to be in there but just a minute, and you could see his passion for the Lord and for seeking his will. His list that he had on our agenda. Sometimes we might get off on a little rabbit trail, which happened quite often. He would gently steer us right back into the direction, get us back on track, whether it was our monthly meetings here at the chapel, or our retreats, yearly retreats when we had them down at ABC. But the one thing was certain and for sure, his love for the people here at the chapel. Seeking God's direction, how he should lead the church to go to benefit us and to reach the lost. How I just admire him for that. One of my duties when I was chairman of the deacon board was annually I was to do an evaluation on Pastor John. Yeah, right. My sentiments exactly. Pastor John was his hardest critic. He didn't talk about what we got accomplished during the year or what had taken place. He talked about where he failed, where he was missing the mark, what he needed to do to improve himself. What a humble and gracious man he is. But one of the most outstanding things about John that spoke to me was through my daughter, Stacy. Stacy and Amy were best buds, still best buds. Going to MCA, Amy was at our house a lot. Stacy was over at Pastor John and Jeannie's house a lot. She told me one time, she said, "Daddy, the John King you see at Johnson's Chapel on Sundays and Wednesdays is the same John King you see at home." That's why we all should be. The world should see us on Monday the same as they see us on Sunday here at the church. John, I thank you for that and for setting that example. I love you and Jeannie. God bless you.
Now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. Dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruined treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing. Thank you.
praise you. Oh, you are good to me. Oh, you are good to me.
In these past
sing it out now.
Chapel Baptist Church. She has visited homebound members, hospitals, and nursing homes, and has taken several ladies for doctor's appointments and treatments. She has also continued to mentor and counsel numerous ladies in the church. However, she says that her favorite ministry is to be there when I get home and to serve as my confidant and biggest prayer warrior. Thank you, my life, for 46 years by my side in marriage, and for 45 years by my side in ministry.
Really tough to follow that. I'm Amy. I'm the oldest daughter. For those of you who don't know me, most of you do know me. I'm the oldest daughter of John and Jeannie, and I want to ask my two sisters, Missy and Ruth, to stand. If I have to be up here, they have to stand to get some attention, too. First of all, I want to thank the church for allowing them to be here. It's very special for all of us to be together. I didn't want to cry, but I looked at my dad. When Pastor Dan called me a few weeks ago and asked me to take a few minutes and talk about my parents, I thought, oh, I'm excited. I can talk about my parents for hours, but I won't. I won't. The one thing I have learned from my dad, as you all know, is the importance of sticking to a schedule. So I will keep it to 4 minutes. My parents have had the biggest impact on my spiritual life. I grew up, obviously, in a Christian home. I grew up in church. My sisters and I both grew up in church every Sunday morning from the time we were a week old, every Sunday night, every Wednesday evening, and many times on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, too. My parents, you know, we have wonderful Sunday school teachers here at Johnston Chapel in Indiana, and I'm sure in Florida and North Carolina as well. My parents were the biggest influence on my life, though. We had wonderful Christian school administrators, Awana leaders, Sheila Dunham, I know you're out there, that helped us along the way. But our parents were the ones who really shaped our faith. My dad, growing up, I'm sorry, I have my notes on my phone. My dad, growing up, prayed with us every night. And we had family devotions. And I know that's kind of become a thing of the past. But I think it was important for us. We gathered as a family and we read the Bible. And as I've grown up and I've raised my own kids, or I'm still raising my kids, I've realized how important that is to spend time with your kids, to have them in church. I don't take it for granted. My dad was the one who prayed with me one Sunday after church. I was very young. We were in Florida. He prayed with me one Sunday after church and led me to ask Jesus into my heart and life. And that was the most important moment of my life. He later baptized me. And that's true for all three of us girls. And I just think it's awesome that my dad can say that he led all three of his kids to the Lord. And he baptized all three of us also. That's a blessing that many people don't have. Dad has been there for us through our growing up years, patiently leading us, sometimes not so patiently. Sometimes we drove him crazy. patiently leading us, answering our questions, teaching us about the Bible, and always helping us to, as we shaped our own faith. While we have all three taken very different paths in life, and there have been many twists and turns, Mom and Dad have been the one constant in our lives, always showing us Christ's love when we've made mistakes, and we have made mistakes, and helping to guide us as we start our own families. My dad, just like Jim said, Dad is very routine oriented. He has his day scheduled, and I can tell you this now because he's gone. His day is scheduled in 15-minute increments. He has a schedule at 6 o'clock starting in the morning, what he does every 15 minutes. He's very organized, but when we needed him, he would drop everything, even in the middle of the night, to be there for his girl. My mom is a constant source of strength and love for my dad, and also for us three girls and our families. I know that I can turn to my mom with anything. We've been blessed to have parents who love and fear the Lord and who have taught us to do the same. While you have loved Dad as your pastor and the shepherd of your flock and in his many roles here at Johnston Chapel, we have the privilege of loving him as our daddy, our provider, the spiritual leader of our home, and now he's our friend. We love you, Dad and Mom. Thank you for everything you've done for us.
Said on the video before that this is Uncle John's, as we know him, Uncle John's favorite song, so we thought we would give it a try and hope you like it.
Faithfulness, great is thy. And then comes me. I've never been in front of a group like this. I don't even know how to use a microphone. But I do know one thing. How much I love Jean and John. And I can't look at you. And I had to put my glasses on. But I did come prepared, and you and John know what I mean. Okay. When Mert and I first joined Johnson's Chapel about 8 years ago, I vaguely remember even meeting Jeannie King and wondering why the pastor's wife wasn't more visible. Reason being, I found out later, she was always involved in some type of ministry. I remember thinking for a few years how I barely knew her, except as an acquaintance. And when I would see her at church, though, she was always so sweet and polite. But that changed about 4 years ago. I started helping in the first and second grade in Sunday school with Jeannie and Leanne Harvey. Oh my, what a friendship and bonding began with the three of us. I came to know Jeannie as a sister. Watching her with the children, her love and desire for them to know Jesus, her sharing her heart for the lost, missions, her yearning to lift up and disciple struggling young women has been such an inspiration to me. I've been amazed to learn of all the lives she has and is ministering to. Jeannie is a behind-the-scenes woman, a quiet and gentle spirit, her good deeds only known by the Lord, but the fruits being reaped continually. She has the gift of hospitality to the young and old. Jeannie has many, many dear friends, but she has made room for me. In a short period of time, she became one of my closest friends. She knows all my past and present sins, all my struggles, my heartaches and joys, and still loves me unconditionally. At least she says she does. There is nothing I can't share with her. I can contact her day and night to pray, and I know she is faithful to do it. This little lady rises around 4:30 every morning to commune and fellowship with the Lord. I could go on and on and on. I realize she has many dear and close friends, but she's always made me feel like as though I'm her bestie. She is my kindred sister. I know Jeannie's heart for the Lord, her family, and her church family. But after the Lord, her love and commitment for John radiates. Her John boy. Just because she isn't in the role of senior pastor's wife anymore doesn't mean her ministry is ended. It continues to flourish and reach out in even more ways. All of this to say that Jeannie King is one of my most beloved friends, as I'm sure many of you can say the same. Jeannie, you know the love and admiration I have for you. And guess what? We have a new senior pastor's wife that has such a passion for godliness and exhibits so much of the fruits of the Spirit. We are so blessed here at Johnson's Chapel. We're so blessed to have you all. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." And my footnote in the ESV says, "It is good to have friends for the occasional party, but it is better yet to have a friend willing and able to give good advice." And I read where true friendship is a relationship that can survive the test of time and remain unconditional. And a sister in the Lord is genuine, unselfish affection, consideration, and care for others. That sums up my Jeannie.
One of John's favorite songs. Debbie, move this out here. There you go. 56. in your hymnal if you want to use it. Words will be on the screen. Very appropriate this morning. Let's worship our Lord. To God be the glory. Great things He has done and will continue to do here at the chapel. Let's all stand as we sing. Number 56 in your hymnal.
Come on up to the platform here for the presentation of the gifts. Then we'd like to have a commissioning prayer for Pastor John and Jeannie. It was back in April that the church voted to offer our rental side of our missions duplex rent-free for Pastor John and Jeannie for as long as they should require its use. And they've done a beautiful job there. They're already moved in, did a beautiful job decorating. Some of you have seen it. It's a beautiful home for them. But we also wanted to give them something tangible, something visible this morning. So I'd like to call the two of them up and embarrass them a little bit. If you would, please come on up to the platform. It's just a little expression of our appreciation for you all and your faithfulness. And if you would, I'm going to embarrass you even more, I'm sorry. But would you please open the gifts? No, right now. Yeah. Go ahead. Yours is the purple one. My mic's on, isn't it? It's easy on them, do we? A little explanation. Pastor John and Jeannie have expressed a desire in the days ahead to hike all of our West Virginia state parks. So, and you know, we considered giving them a horse to ride off into the sunset, but we knew the mission apartment, all that wouldn't work out accommodating that, so we did the next best thing. Backpacks as you hike off into your new phase of life and ministry. We love you both so much.
Thank you.
Moment to express his gratitude to you all this morning.
First of all, I have a bit of a disclaimer to make. As I was listening to all of those accomplishments over the past 28 years, I have to confess I can't take credit for many of those. We have so many faithful men like these up here on the platform and other pastors who have served alongside me, and so many of you faithful people in the church, and quite often most of those ministries, people would come to me and say, "What about this idea? What if we could do this?" And I would say, "Wow, that's an amazing idea. Why didn't I think of that?" And so I would just kind of give the green light, and it would go. And so I am so thankful to so many of you. And I do want to take a moment. Joe, I didn't know you were going to be here. Joe and Noni, what a blessing. John, Karen Altizer and family, so many of our dear friends and family, just overwhelming. Ken Grubb, so many others. I'm going to leave out some folks, but thank you is not sufficient to express how we feel with deep appreciation and gratitude for you and for the love and ministry you've had to us. Our absence the last 5 weeks is not any indication of a lessening of our love for you, of our support for Dan, or of our commitment to this church. I believe these first 3 months of transition to Dan and his ministry are really the final stage of our transition. And I firmly believe that it was important for me to be away for a little while. I wanted to see Dan be able to lay the foundation of his ministry without wondering what I was thinking, if I was evaluating or critiquing or anything like that. And he doesn't feel that way. In fact, he's expressed to me on many occasions he wants me to be here. But I felt this is what the Lord wanted us to do. And it's also a time for you to bond with him, to form those kinds of bonds where you look to him for leadership. You come to him with your questions and your concerns without my presence in any way serving as a distraction. So I just wanted to make sure you knew that our absence these last few weeks and for the next several weeks has nothing to do with how we feel about you or about Dan. We believe this is the last phase of the transition. Come October, whenever I'm not preaching somewhere else, and I will be preaching every Sunday morning at least through the end of the year somewhere, but if we're not preaching somewhere else, we'll be here. This is our church. We'll always be members here, Lord willing, until the day the Lord takes us home. I would like to say thank you in a little different way, if I could. When our first daughter was born, Amy, first time I saw her and held her in my arms, the only way I could express this, I love you with all my heart. And to this day, Amy, I love you with all my heart. And so about 2 years later, when we found that we were going to have a second child, I had those nagging doubts that most parents have. Will I be able to love another child like I love Amy? And it didn't take but a few moments with Ruth in my arms to know that God has this miraculous way of expanding the capacity of our hearts to love. And so from that moment till this day, I love Ruth with all my heart. We thought our family was done, and then the Lord surprised us 9 years later with Missy, and those nagging doubts came back. Would it be possible to love her like I loved Amy and Ruth? And once again, from the moment I had her in my arms in the delivery room, I knew that God had expanded our hearts once again to love. And from that moment to this day, Missy, I love you with all my heart. 28 years ago, I came here to Johnston Chapel to be your senior pastor. I was following a dearly beloved founding pastor. Jimmy Jones has meant the world to me through my life and ministry. I came to know the Lord under his ministry. I grew up as a teenager in this church under his ministry. I was called to preach under his ministry. And I had serious doubts about coming here and how my ministry would be received. Even though it was my home church, I still had those nagging doubts. And yet I watched as God did that same thing in your hearts and gave you the capacity to expand your love to a new pastor and his wife and family. And you have loved us and ministered to us in such amazing and incredible ways. I cannot think of a better place to serve God than right here. But one of the greatest joys of my ministry has been over the last 7 months to watch God do that again in your hearts and lives as your love has expanded to the third pastor in 65 years here at Johnston Chapel, senior pastor Dan Thing and his wife Amy, Kate, Claire, Ben, and Elijah, and how you have embraced them and loved them and are loving them And I just love seeing that. I honestly say it's one of the greatest joys of my ministry to have witnessed that over the last 7 months. Dan is now my pastor. And I'm loving his preaching. I'm listening to it online. He is feeding you well. And it's hard to imagine this happening, but it's only going to get better over the years. You have an incredible future ahead of you. And I'm so grateful to God for that. What I really long for and look forward to is a day many, many years from now when I'm looking down from heaven on an occasion very similar to this, where you are pouring out your love and appreciation for Pastor Dan and Amy for many years of God-honoring, Christ-exalting, Spirit-led ministry.
Came to my mind. It was a sermon actually preached by Dr. Ockengay years ago, and I made it in my notes and filed it away and was reading through the qualifications of a pastor this week and saw a little thumb note and went back in my files and looked. And this is what he said. The verse reads, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." This is how I read it. "This is why I called you back to Johnston Chapel, so that you might finish what I started in you and appoint Dan Thing as the lead pastor, as I was going to direct you." So 3 points come out of this. Number one, you had unfinished work to do, but you did it. Number two, you were to prepare pastors for this church. You did it. And number three, you have been prepared to lead, and I'm not finished with you. In my personal opinion, I think your greatest years are yet to come. You have been blessed. When I came to the chapel and heard John King preach, I had never met the man. And I thought to myself, woe to the man who follows him. And then we became buddies and went out to lunch and shared with each other. And then I learned his rigid schedule. I knew I had an hour and 15 minutes, and I had better get it out. And you know what really amazed me, John, out of all of it? I learned that John King never used this up-to-date Bible software like I have. He did it the old-fashioned way through books. And yet he came out and gave you unbelievable, unbelievable truth. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I know Dan would say it as I do. Paul told Timothy, "You follow me as I follow Christ." And right there is a man that every pastor can point to and a wife that has lived faithful that we can say, follow him as he follows Christ. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you. Well, I guess let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the life and ministry of your servants, John and Jeannie. What a privilege it is to be a part of a service like this. Thank you for your hand of protection and providence on their life. Thank you for the ministry that you called them to and that you fulfill here. Thank you for the faithful way that you passed the torch from John to Dan. And we thank you for this church, Lord, that has had an impact in so many lives that eternity will have to tell the story. Thank you for Jimmy Jones. Thank you for Jimmy Jones leading Stanley Harvey to the Lord, who led me into ministry. Thank you, Father, for the people that you've used in this church. But especially today, we think of John and Jeannie. We pray, oh God, you would bless their life, bless their ministry from this day forward, and thank you for their faithfulness to you. I pray the same for Dan as this transition. What a beautiful picture of servants of God who pass on the torch and pick up the torch and carry it that has happened in this church. Bless him and Amy and their family. And Lord, we pray that you would multiply this ministry time and time again. Thank you for these men who serve with them, as it's a testimony to your grace. And thank you for this day that you have allowed us to experience. May it fill our hearts with joy, and may it cause us to want to serve you the best we can.
All of this, Lord, we give to your honor and your glory because of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh, who came to this earth to pay the purchase price of our sin and to give us a reason to live. To him be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You all are dismissed. Thank you.